T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Swing and a miss, strike three, a dozen for sale.
Would you rather watch this than a Patriots game with Tom Brady?
No question.
No question?
Absolutely.
Five straight starts with 11 strikeouts or more.
This is must watch, must listen. This is better than Brady.
You're brainwashed.
I'm going to be locked in. I'm going to be sitting down. We're going to be doing some live tweeting.
As I'm tweeting last night, drunk as can be.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
What is fair and what is unfair when it comes to David Price?
Boy, David Price made a mistake. Fourth home run given up by Price.
Higashioka, the home run stroker.
Third hit batsman of the inning.
And that will be all for David Price.
The piling on of Price has been excessive.
You don't like it, pitch better.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
The home run stroker. Bradford finally figured it out.
He did?
Yeah, he deleted the tweet. So Bradford left his Twitter account open. He left his computer going here. This is the guy who runs the whole digital operation here at Entercom. Really bright. And he left it going, and we jumped in there, and Lou typed away, had a little line in there, and he is now taking it down. So I would guess that there's probably a digital prank coming our way, and he does
the
control
the
website.
Baseball has given me all kind of. Almost died.
It was entertaining this morning. I liked it. A lot of uncomfortableness in that.
It was uncomfortable. It was
nice.
You know what it was? It was like 4 hours of therapy. Yeah. Probably why Kirk did it, right? Because he just
sure
perfect therapy.
And probably looking forward to that show more than any show in a long time, right?
Yeah.
You would say? Safe to say?
Yeah, yeah, there were a bunch of different dynamics working. What is the relationship there between Bradfo and Drolic? Do you have any clue how that works? Because it seemed very bizarre.
I think they're like frenemies.
Very good.
They're friends.
Yeah.
But it's like a underlying
kind of they hate each
tension.
Other.
It was almost like a mentorship kind of thing going there. Drolic being the younger writer and Bradfo being the stalwart WEEI.com guy trying to, you know, show him the way and how to do things.
Yeah, I'm not so sure Drolic looks at it that way.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Bradford's his mentor.
See, I thought you were his mentor because he's on the baseball show with you on TV.
No, we're equals.
Aren't you the mentor? Oh, equals.
Sure. Co-hosts.
Oh, is that what it is? Yes. Co-hosts. Yes. All equals.
Yes.
All right, back to the phone calls we go. Talking about David Price. If you missed it, he, believe it or not, decided on doing an interview with Dan Shaughnessy. Probably nothing that was planned in advance, but Shaughnessy was smart enough to head to his locker room yesterday afternoon and started asking him a couple of questions. And at the beginning, didn't look like he was getting much. Like Shaughnessy asked him, you said you were searching after that bad outing in Kansas City the other night. Did you find what you were looking for? Answer, yep. And then he said, can you tell me what you've learned? Nope. Is it mechanical? Yep. But to Shaughnessy's credit, and he is a bulldog, he stayed with it. And he started asking questions in which he got answers that were longer than one word. How did you end up hitting three guys in one inning? I tried to make sure I got the ball in. I just got it in too far in. How do you feel about facing the Yankees again this year? I feel great moving forward for the rest of the season and great facing the Yankees again, whenever that may be. That's a team I've pitched against a lot in my career, probably more than against any team in the big leagues, maybe with the exception of Toronto. See, he does have a LeBron recall. He knows that. Mm-hmm. I've pitched against both of them a lot. And I've had some bad games against the Yankees a few times. I gave up 9 straight hits against them when I was in Detroit in 2015. 9 straight hits, no walks, no sacrifice flies, no hit by pitches, 9 straight knocks. And what did you say? It was 9 singles? Is that what it was?
No, it was a couple doubles mixed in. Yeah. Bang, 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 bang.
Have you been able to tune out the noise around you here in Boston? Yes. I'm still not a subscriber to whatever papers there are. I don't know the last time I've listened to FM or AM radio, which both of us believe he's kind of fibbing there. Or
well, he gets the word.
Yeah, somebody
because,
else.
I mean, later on when he asks him, do you hate Boston? David Price's comment is, I've never said I've hated Boston. I had a problem with the fans.
Right.
And again, I'll throw in, but you never said you liked it here. And you never said you appreciated the atmosphere and the fan base. You know, so whatever. But he says, that's a perception you put on me through you guys, the media. That's what it is. It's like when we were in Minnesota and I said I wasn't deserving to be an all-star and didn't think I should be an all-star. Then all that crap got put out and it turns into that, so write what you want. So, you know, he is admitting that he heard all the crap. I don't know if he read it, heard it on the radio, even though he said he doesn't listen. But the problem is that all that stuff about him not deserving to be an all-star was good. The only conversations that we had and the articles that were written was the comment afterwards of why you won't go to the All-Star game, because you will sit and you'll play Fortnite the night before, which will make you unable to pitch the next day. So it's a little, the funny man came out, right?
Yeah.
The clown, you know, the little comedian.
Play a lot of Fortnite.
So that's what we really were talking about.
But see, this was a blown opportunity by him. So he's sitting there and he talks about the question, but it seems like you hate it here. Do you hate Boston? I've never said I've hated Boston or had a problem with the fans. Okay, that's fine to that point. That's a perception.
I just read this.
I'm reading it again.
I just read this.
I know you did.
Like 3 seconds ago.
I get that.
Okay, go ahead.
That's what I'm doing. I'm going back to what you...
You all right?
I did hear it. No, this was not a case.
Why would you read it back one more time?
Because I'm trying to get to the point of... He had an opportunity here.
Instead of going with
the perception.
Sorry to interrupt. It won't happen
again.
Make your point.
I did hear you on this one. This was not one of those. This was by design. This was not a case because there are cases where I do tune you out.
Right, what were the numbers?
I tuned Christian out more than you sometimes, but I do tune you out. Sure. This was not one of those cases.
You need to read the quote I just read. Go.
The point I'm trying to point out is the perception is on you guys, the media. Okay. There's a perception. Give us reality. He doesn't give you reality, so he doesn't give you the flip side. So the question is being asked, you hate it here, do you hate Boston? He basically says, I've never said it, I've hated Boston. Why don't you come out and use that opportunity to basically say, I love it here, I love pitching here. So we're left again thinking, you don't love it here. Should I think any different?
No, he's never said he hasn't, but he's never said he has. It's always been about stuff he hasn't said. That's all.
So he's leaving it to
perception. He's got to perform better. Bottom line. He's got to perform better. He's got a 4.07 ERA as a starter in this city since he signed his contract. I'm sorry. Had one playoff start. Okay? It was great in the bullpen last year, but still, he's got to perform better. And that's not my fault. I can't help him. I can't try to go on the radio and be like, oh, we got to give him a chance because if we start talking nicely about him, then he's going to throw the ball better. That's not going to help him. He's got to figure it out in himself. He's got to throw the ball better. He's got to win when they get to October. These are things that he has to do, not me.
I'm looking at the schedule. I'm seeing those 6 games in the last 2 weeks against the Yankees. And I'm wondering if you're Alex Cora and you're looking at that schedule and you're looking ahead. I know they have the Yankees coming up here in another couple of weeks, but I'm looking at the last 6 games because to me, that's going to determine who wins the division. And who has to play that one game wild card?
I'm curious to see when he announces what the rotation is going to be like coming out of the All-Star break.
You said this yesterday, and it's a great point.
Because they got the 4 game set. I think it's the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th of August.
Yeah, you want to get him away from Sale anyway, right?
So it's a 4 game set. Now, Sale, do you make Sale be the 5th starter coming out of the break, right, to give him that extended rest? They've done a nice job with him. They got to keep him that way. So do you come out of the break? Because if they come out with Porcello and Price, whoever throws Saturday's game against Detroit will miss the 4-game series in Yankee State against the Yankees here at Fenway. Barring injury, and there's a day off leading up to the Yankee series so they can move it around. But if you stick with your 5-man rotation, if you throw Saturday, you don't throw against the Yankees. Now, I'd be curious if they'd do it. I wouldn't.
I would not. You want him to pitch against the Yankees?
Not. Because if you are, then you're sitting there saying, I would rather have Drew Pomeranz pitch against the Yankees. Or I'd rather have Hector Velasquez or Brian Johnson pitch against the Yankees and David Price. And sometimes you can't run from it.
When's Johnson back from the DL?
Well, you got to, he's got to face it. He's got to face them.
No, but you could listen.
I have confidence if he throws in that series? No.
But he's
got to want that opportunity to say, damn it, I'm not starting Saturday against Detroit because I know what's going on here. If I do, I'm going to miss that Yankee series. I can't dodge them. I can't dodge him again.
So you know, Alex.
I got to go out there and face it, and I got to pitch against these guys.
So what's Cora going to do here?
Going to pitch him Saturday. No, I don't know.
I think he is, though.
I hope he doesn't.
But you know what? You bring up another interesting point I didn't even think about. So what you've got to worry about, Sale in September. And the way Price is pitching right now, you've never needed Chris Sale more than you need him right now down the stretch. He's got a history of this, right? Pitches great.
Yeah.
Gets to that last month, arms a little worn out a little bit. So do you give him time off here? He's probably – what's he going to pitch? If he pitches an inning in the All-Star game?
Should start.
Okay, so he pitches an inning.
Actually, Blake Snell should start if he ever makes the team.
Good. He still has to make the team first. He's going to make the team. But if you do that, if you have him pitch an inning, do you delay his next start coming back specifically for that purpose to give him some time now and rest that arm a little bit?
It will be interesting. They've done an outstanding job so far. And this is still a study test. We don't know what he's going to look like in October, meaning Chris Sale. But what they did was they pushed everything back. What we're seeing now from Chris Sale, we saw in April last year. Dude striking out 10 in a row. I don't know, what was it, 8 straight, I believe, in almost early in April? Yeah. Early April, yeah. May? So they've pushed the calendar a couple of months back. You know, so April, May, he looked different. The numbers were similar, but he looked different. They were protecting with innings. They were protecting with pitches. He was throwing the ball 92, 94 miles an hour. Once in a while, you'd see 97 if you got into a jam. But for the most part, he was living there. Now, it's 2 months later. So rather than dying in September into October and just being exhausted, you're hoping that you've pushed a calendar 2 months, and now he's just as strong in October. And it does, he's better this year than he was last year. And I'm watching it going, you remember last year when Sale would come out and he'd have games where he'd strike out 5 of the first 6?
Yep.
Or 7 of the first 9, and he would end up with 10 or 11. Then the last few innings, there'd be some more contact. And you know, but he would always come out of the gate going, oh my God, he's going to throw a no-hitter or he's going to strike out 20. And so, and the numbers sort of showed it. I was looking at it like last year, you know, it was innings 1 through 3, 4 through 6, 7 through 9. They had a .193 early on, .218, then .224. OPSs were going up. This year, it's completely it's opposite. He's getting better. Still a .192 the first couple innings, .193 last year. Down to a .179 innings 4 through 6. Down to a .170 batting average, 7 through 9.
So do you think they're doing a better job of managing him?
Yes, he's getting stronger. It seemed like last year.
He pitched another inning last night, and then
last night was pushing it. I think they pushed it to get to 7.
But the bullpen was a little bit worn out. So
that's why he went 7.
Right, he limited in the bullpen.
But the point is that early last year, if that last year starts, he struck out a crap load in the first 3. Now he's striking out a crap load in the last 3 innings he pitches. Like, he's getting stronger in a game. So hopefully the games that we're seeing is just a little microcosm of the season. So, again, so far, so good.
So if you go in with a 3.5 game lead.
We have to wait and see what it looks like in October.
If you go into the All-Star break with this 3.5 game lead, would you come out and give him an extra rest coming out of that break?
He's going to have a long rest as it is. So I'm not so sure. We threw last night, right? Wednesday night.
Yes.
He'll throw one inning on Wednesday All-Star game. Tuesday?
Tuesday.
You don't play again until Friday.
Friday.
So, you know, if you wait until the following Tuesday, that's 2 weeks off. So I wouldn't have a problem. In other words, what I'm saying is I wouldn't have a problem if they came, you know, maybe not Friday,
they used to do this Saturday. With Pedro. Do you remember when they did this
Sunday?
With Pedro?
Sure. Yeah, no, I do. I do. But, you know, 2 weeks. I mean, if you throw him on Sunday, you give him a week and a half. So, I mean, that's a pretty long rest as it is, too.
So you think it's too much rest? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
that
it
gets out of a rhythm?
No,
or?
But it's not too much. But rather than getting 13 days, if they give you 11 or 10, that's not that big of a deal. That's a long-ass rest.
Yeah.
Period, no matter what.
Yeah, I'm still concerned about
it. But you could consider it.
There's a track record here in September. And let's face it, we're hoping this team can go deep into October. If that's the case, if he already is struggling in September over the last few years, what's going to happen in October? I think I'm going to be really cautious in how I deal with Chris
Sale. I would. But, you know,
because without him, you know, you've got no chance of doing
anything. No, I agree. None. But you got to remember that, you know, there's other guys that maybe have to worry about. You know, he ran through 137 innings last year, throwing 107 the year before.
Yeah.
He's got 100 right now. So maybe Erod is the guy that they want to protect. You know, Porcello just seems to me like there's never any concerns. Like, I can always count on him. He's healthy. You know, he does his thing. Maybe Price is a guy that they want to protect. You know, maybe they think they could fix some things and give him a long rest and throw an extra couple bullpens. So it just depends on where they are priority-wise and health-wise and concerns. But I think Erod's a guy you got to keep an eye on as well.
We will spend time, and I'm looking at those 6 games again on the schedule in September against the Yankees. We will spend time at the end of September looking forward to the playoffs, because we know they're going to be in the playoffs, talking about Price. Should he be in the bullpen or your starter for the postseason. Write that down. We will have that as a topic, and it will be the last 2 weeks of September. Let's go to Ray in Revere. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. Listen, I've already written off Price as one of my top three starters. I've got Sale, Erod, and Porcello ahead of them. So, and for that matter, I'd be protecting those guys in that order as well.
Who's your fourth?
Yeah, exactly. I got him at number four. And, guys, you know something? I think everyone in this area code is praying that he opts out of this contract. So the best-case scenario is he comes back, he performs, he opts out, or he performs so badly he opts out because he doesn't want to sit here and get dogged anymore.
Yeah, I know. I think there's something to that. And Tony from Bridgewater was arguing he thinks he's going to be out. I think it's because Tony wants him to be out and other fans want him to be out. So, and that's why a lot of fans are rooting against him, because you're sitting there going, I'm sick of this act. I want it to end. I want him to go. But I'm looking at it the opposite way. You also look at a team right now that has a chance to go all the way this year. But if they're going to go all the way, they need him. They need him.
I'm not sure I agree with
that.
Oh,
I think they need him.
I think they need three starters in the playoffs, and I think they need a shutdown bullpen.
Lou, do they need David Price to win this thing?
They need him. They just might need him in the bullpen.
Yep.
But they're going to need him.
I could see that.
Ray, you need four starters, though, now. I mean, you need four. The way the schedule is, you don't. You're going to need four starters. Now, you've got some guys, but...
So Price is my fourth starter. He gets one start in a seven-game series. I can live with that. Okay, guys? But I think they need a seventh and eighth inning guys. And, you know, let's be honest. There's only like three or four viable teams right now. We have to measure ourselves against the Indians, the Astros, and the Yankees. We really haven't played them. All those teams have enough top-end talent to beat us in a short series. So I think the Red Sox have to augment their bullpen if they're going to win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They need to improve the bullpen. But, again, they might be looking at it saying, well, we are going to improve our bullpen
with Price.
David Price, right. You know, or Drew Pomeranz, or, you know, whatever. They're going to add an arm. Yeah. That second arm, might, in their mind, might be a starter. That's all.
None of that, if the moment gets to him, none of it got to him out of the bullpen last year, did it? Really didn't. When you look at him out of the bullpen... That the moment didn't become too big for him.
No, it didn't.
How is that? So how is it as a starter?
Because it's not his game. And I debate this with Drellick all the time. Like he says, well, obviously he can handle the playoffs because he's throwing well in the bullpen. But there's a huge difference. You know, like I remember in 99 when Nomar got hurt and it was game three, Jimmy Williams called me in and said, you're starting tomorrow. Down 2-0 to the Hall of Fame lineup of the Cleveland Indians at home. You're starting. I went to bed last night knowing it was my game. I woke up knowing it was my game. I played that game.
Oh, what was the bed?
Bed was fine. Slept like a baby. Okay? Yeah. But still, there's a difference between that and coming to the field saying, it's not my game, but I'll be ready in the sixth if you need me. The burden on yourself, the anxiety, the stress that you deal with, going to bed knowing it's your game, waking up knowing it's your game, showing up at the ballpark, doing your pregame, getting on the mound, throwing that first pitch, that is your damn game. And he has not shown that he can handle that.
It's momentum with him.
He can handle, I'm here to help if you need me. But he can't handle his game.
For $31 million.
I'm just saying, that's just...
$31 million.
That's the postseason.
Give it an help if you need me.
That's the postseason. And honestly, you can translate it to the Yankee start.
No, it's a legitimate point. There's no question. But again, it goes back to what we've said about Price. It's all mental. I'm not saying that there are not mechanical issues, but it still deals with up here. Is he willing to change? Is he willing to alter? I thought it was interesting that when the Yankee game, at the end of the Yankee game, I got to change up what I do against this lineup. And you brought up the perfect point. That's a different Yankee lineup than he saw in the first month of the season when he struggled against them, right? Early on this year. Yeah. What are you talking about? See, it's in your head. The moment becomes too big. Sean is in New Hampshire. Next up here on OMF. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you doing this morning? Thank you very much for taking my call.
What's up?
I agree with everything you're saying about Price, and I wish you was listening, because you know what, David? We want you to succeed. We need you to succeed. You know, if there's something injury-wise that's going on, you got to disclose to take care of it. If there's something behind the scenes that's going on, you know, I don't know what it is, but you got to take care of it, because we need you, especially when it comes to the fall. Enough said about Price. One other thing I wanted to talk about that you guys hit on, I think it was yesterday, when they had Brock Holt live, I think it was the third or fourth inning, that was incredible. I mean, I think as a fan of the game, I'd like to see that in every game. I think it brings us as a fan closer to the players. It provides more personability.
Agreed.
If you know what I mean.
Yep.
Agreed. They did it because they were trying to get votes for Benintendi. But I think you're right. I think the game needs more personality. If Major League Baseball can't figure that out, then they got issues. We're going to talk with Sam Kennedy coming up in about an hour from now, a little less than an hour from now. And we'll bring that up because I think it's something they have to do. And I think their biggest problem is players don't want to do stuff like this. Players are happy. They a lot of guys just want to play the game. Is that fair to say, Lou? Get the blinders on. I just want to play the game. Nah, I don't
want to. Groundhog Day. I'm here to show up and play.
Right, but they can't do that anymore because the game is entertainment. It's a show. It's beyond that. In other sports, we've talked about it many times. The NBA has done a brilliant job of working its way into the music and entertainment industry and have it kind of seamless. They're going to be they're always a big part of their All-Star game. Are we going to see that as a big part of Major League Baseball's All-Star game next week? Nah, we'll see the players. That's what we'll see, and people will not know. Is that what Mike Trout looks like? Oh, my God. That's the problem. We'll get into that with Sam Kennedy. We have something interesting here. We've had Riches here for how many years here in New England? And I'm looking right now, our buddy John from Foxborough, the Boston Sports Info, has broken down the last four individual seasons of our teams. And I'm looking at the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Bruins, and the Celtics. And I think it's going to continue, but I'm not sure it's going to go over as well as it's gone over the last decade. We're going to get into that coming up next.
I've never said I've hated Boston, had a problem with the fans.
Right.
But he says, that's a perception you put on me through you guys.
I've never said I've hated Boston or had a problem with the fans. That's a perception.
I just read this.
We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier.
You ruined it!
Forget it.
Are you happy now?
I'm trying to get to
me. Are you happy?
How many times can this happen?
Stop!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm back here on OMF. Christian has the day off. Did you call him this morning?
I did too.
Yeah.
Actually, I did. Yeah.
I just
and I'm making it a thing.
But he's so stupid. He keeps on picking up the phone. You're on vacation, dude. Go to the beach. Set up with the kids at the pool. Yeah. He picks up the phone. I can't believe it. I'll do it again tomorrow.
I call him on Thursday. Hey, what's up?
I might do it Saturday and Sunday too. I might try that.
Don't call me next week.
And ready for what? This? He's texting me now.
He is?
Yeah, he's texting me. He's actually texting me now.
I'm having a mental breakdown.
That's why he's probably having a mental breakdown.
All right, Henry McKenna.
I did see this.
Who writes for the Big Lead. He also works over at NBC Sports Boston, right? Where you work?
Yep.
Did you do some stuff over there? Yeah, local guy. Writes a whole piece on the Big Lead, why Boston will be the epicenter of sports success in America for the next few years.
Like it already hasn't been.
Boston sports teams show no signs of stopping. If you listen to Boston sports radio, you'd know that New England's biggest sports fans have no idea how good they have it.
Sure.
They've got four professional sports teams who could win a championship in 2018-2019.
True.
So when my colleague Ryan Glassbeagle,
who?
Anybody have any idea who the Glassbeagle guy is?
No.
Okay. Wrote that he thought Wisconsin would be the epicenter of sport. Maybe it's Felger. Glassbeagle, is that like his...
What am I missing there?
Pseudonym or something?
We break down Wisconsin.
You got the Bucks, you got the Packers, you got the Brewers, right? No hockey. They got a minor league team. Don't they have a minor league team? Minor league hockey team? We're not including minor
those,
league
those
hockey.
Those three teams are going to...
Yeah, I'm not okay. I'm not getting... He must be... Glassbeagle must be from Wisconsin, I would guess,
yeah,
right?
Well, so he's Wisconsin. Doing his hometown. What the hell is he going to write
right,
about?
Exactly. And so McKenna said, I politely disagreed. Boston is where it's at. Wisconsin has one thing New England doesn't, a successful college football team. Well, we forgot about that.
Okay.
Right, Wisconsin, that's the team that runs, right? That's
yeah,
all they do is
them,
running
no.
back. Okay, run
Christian's
ball,
not here.
6 yards. Otherwise, Boston is a dominant in college hockey. Let's not go there.
Stop.
Boston will be the sporting epicenter, not Wisconsin or Los Angeles. Apparently, the Big Lead editor, Jason McIntyre, is arguing that L.A. is going to be it. And then he breaks down each individual team and why. And our buddy John from Foxborough, who is always tweeting out with great statistics, Boston Sports Info, by the way, Boston sports teams in the last four individual seasons. Your New England Patriots, 13-3. That is an .813 winning percentage. Boston Red Sox, 64-29. That would be this season, .688 winning.
65-29.
65 and 29. That's right.
Of course, it was a day old. This was done before the game. So.
I apologize. Right. Why don't I just put 66 in there for tonight's
actually? None
game?
Of them really.
Can
count.
I do that?
None of them really.
Can I do that
anywhere.
Tonight's
it's
game?
A 692 winning percentage if all of them counted, which we all know they
okay,
don't.
Okay, let's put the 692 if they okay. all count. Can I put 66 in there? Or are you concerned that the one pitcher that can actually pitch for the Jays
can
is pitching against David Price?
Can I ask you a question? I don't know if he was doing this to troll me or not, but do you notice what's right next to the 688?
An asterisk.
What are we doing? Like, why does that have to be? Is he trolling me? Why is there an asterisk next to it?
That's interesting. Why is there an asterisk?
Why?
It's to indicate that the season's not done.
Oh, that's right. It's through 93 games total.
I would be too sure. Maybe they are screwing with you, Lou.
Yeah. They might be, Lou.
Why's he got to go do that?
They might be. I'd screw with you. So all right, maybe they're doing it. The Boston Bruins, 50-20-12, 683. Mm-hmm. And the Boston Celtics, 55-27, 671. By the way, that is an asterisk next to it. Why would the Celtics have an asterisk?
I think I just formatted the page wrong.
Oh, that's right. The asterisk would be for the next line that you formatted wrong. And so you look at this and you say, oh, my God. If I'm living in another city, God be it, one of those cities that have trash teams, like, you know, Cleveland.
It really is remarkable when you look at those records.
I'm looking at it and going, this is gluttonous.
It's 183, 79, and 12. It's a 690, 91, whatever it is, winning percentage.
And here's why I'm not going to get all giddy about all of this right now. Because this is not what excites us. 692 winning percentage, 683 winning percentage, 813 winning percentage, more games in first place, more games in first place, more games in first place. What gets us excited here in New England is winning championships. Okay, we cheat every once in a while to get those championships, but it's winning championships. That's what it's about. I look at these four teams right now, and I'm not sure, even though I think that he's right, McKenna's right, they're going to be good here in the near future. Where do the championships come from? Mm. The Patriots, it becomes a little bit more difficult. Okay, they can get to the AFC championship
they had a window.
Game. Maybe they win. Maybe they win, but the window might not be... What's the window? 2 years? Then they have a new quarterback. You've already told me. You've already predicted
football
they're falling
away.
Apart. They're 3-13
yep.
with Brady gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only a couple years on that one. And even that, if they go up against the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl again, is anybody picking the Patriots? Everybody's going to pick
comes
the Eagles.
The cliff.
Exactly.
Bruins, 50. I mean, you like what they're going, the
yeah,
direction they're headed.
I do, but I also look at what Tampa Bay's doing,
How about
and
Toronto?
I look at what Toronto's doing right now, and I say they're going to have trouble in their own conference, their own division.
Yep.
That's going to be difficult for them to do it. Then I look at the Celtics, and I say, okay, I can look at the Celtics being in the NBA final for the next 3, 4, 5 years, but can they beat the Golden State Warriors?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so... I can't look at necessarily championship there. So where do I look at championships? Patriots? Red Sox? If I look at the Red Sox, I still have to go through Houston. I still have to go through the Yankees. You know, somebody from the National League, who knows? Maybe the Cubs are finally going to figure it out. I'm not sure that we may look at great teams with great records, but in New England, we've already figured out what great teams are. You got to have the hardware. You don't have the hardware. You can have all the wins you want. The Red Sox are a prime example. Why aren't people jumping all over the Red Sox this year and grabbing and hugging them? Because we've seen this before. You win a lot of games in the regular season, but then there's no hardware in the postseason.
See, that's where I'm at with that Patriot team we're talking about, the discussion. You know, I'm not saying they're going to be completely irrelevant with ownership and Bill being here, but will they be the Red Sox? Will they win a crappy division at 10-6 and say, yeah, but they can't beat that next super team, because, you know, there's always going to be a team that's 14-2, 13-3.
What now?
You know, so it's like, well, okay, because the quarterback can't win. He hasn't shown me he can win the postseason. So you start getting into it. So, yeah, all these records are great. But like you said, the Celtics right now I would look at. And if you say 5 years from now, because I don't think Kyrie Irving's going anywhere.
I don't either.
I would say the Celtics.
Except
Golden State might control the next 3 or 4 years. Who knows?
They may control all five. So Cousins fills in this year at $5 million, okay? And then he goes and gets his money. And another superstar who wants to resurrect his career decides they're going to go for that mid-level exception with Golden State. And then the year after the year, they get another one of those all-stars who decides he wants to go there. What's to say that the Golden State just doesn't add that one player, that all-star player every year that keeps this thing rolling for 5, 6, or 7 years, Lou? There's no guarantees of championships. And the problem is we've gone through the last 20 years, It's all been about championships. It's all been about hardware. We have parades. We have charity events where everybody shows up with all the hardware.
Yeah.
All of the championship trophies. So, and I think in this town, since we've already got a taste of the championships, I think this is the fellowship of the miserable all over again with phenomenal winning percentages by their teams. We're sitting there and we're not ignoring the teams. We're pissed off because big deal, you're winning 80% of your games.
We're not there yet with the Celtics. That's all I'm saying. Because we're still riding high with them. Yeah. Plus the green teamers will never let you say anything negative.
No.
But, go to NBA Finals back-to-back years and lose to Golden State. And then it's like, okay, Danny, what are you going to do? Something.
Right.
Will you do something? I mean, he hasn't done enough, but I'm just telling you, get ready because that's coming.
Yes.
Do something. I mean, because this is great. Great. You won the East. Awesome. Go to the NBA Finals. Like that's almost where this mentality is.
But we're getting it with the Red Sox right now, Lou. They're winning 93. They're winning the division, and they can't win in the postseason.
Right.
That's why it's crucial that they do something.
Do something.
Yep.
Now that you're there, now that you've built it, now the next step is the toughest one.
Yeah, don't have dinner with John Tavares. Sign him to a damn contract.
And that's why, I was thinking about this whole thing with the Red Sox. I've had a lot of fun with it doesn't count. A lot of people saying, you're too sensitive over it. And I think maybe I figured out why.
Why?
Because I played here from 98 to 03.
Oh,
so when I played here.
Yeah, it's coming now.
Going into the playoffs in 98, don't matter, you can't win. I'm like, you'll be kidding me. We had a great year. Why can't we win?
In 99. For having made it into a major league dugout where he spent most of his playing career.
Yeah, like 99.
Check
it. ALCS, right? Doesn't matter, can't win. 03.
Ooh.
The biggest heartbreak in the world.
Glad you're bringing up both.
So to me, I know that winning in the regular season is an accomplishment. And know what it feels like when people sit there and say, it doesn't matter. Now, listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, they got to prove it to you.
Right.
I mean, there's no trust with that. I get it. Major League Baseball playoffs are a little bit different, though. So they haven't won the first round. They need to be more competitive. I get it. But if the Bruins' first round opponent, if they go out there and their first round opponent was Tampa and they lost in five games, they don't win. The four best teams in American League play each other. In the other leagues, the first rounds are a joke. Maybe not so much in hockey. But you know what I mean? So,
an eight can knock off a one.
Because when the Celtics won a playoff round, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last 2 years in a row. So that counts. But winning a playoff round in the NBA is a lot easier than winning a playoff round in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
When you've got Cleveland and Houston and New York. Like, they go in the first round this year. They finish with the best record. They play the Yankees in the first round in five. They lose in five. You think people are going to say, well, at least they were competitive?
No.
No.
No, that's where I think Henry McKenna.
In fact, you couldn't beat a team with 104 wins like the Yankees is a joke. This team got no sack. This team can't handle. So it's a lot harder. Better teams in Major League Baseball playoffs than there are in other ones. But it pissed me off because I think I lived through it.
It's a great point. We could be going
back to there.
We could be going back to those
86
days.
Years. We're back there already. Yeah.
So Henry McKenna, he brings up the point that Boston is going to be the epicenter of sports success in America for the next few years. He might be right, writing on the big lead for a national audience. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not sure that people locally here in Boston are going to look at this as a sports success. And we just gave you the numbers, the individual seasons, last four individual seasons, and the numbers are off the charts. We're the championships. And that's what it comes down to. Everybody here is spoiled. People are going to be miserable. And Lou brings up an interesting point. It's going to be like pre-04 for the Red Sox. We're getting into that era. People are not going to like it. It's the fellowship of the miserable all over again, even though the rest of the world will look at us and say, you got to be bleeping me. Look at the numbers. Look at how many games your teams are winning, not winning championships. And I think these four teams that we just talked about, they're going to have trouble winning championships. I don't know about the Revolution. Do we have anybody on the other side of the glass? Is any idea if they can win anything?
No idea back
here. What is their record?
That's a negative.
Do we know? They play into the in-season or out-of-season.
They're the best.
I'm not sure.
Best soccer team around.
They don't play opposite the World Cup, do they?
Oh, of course they do.
Do they really?
Oh, they're going to kill them.
Wow.
3-0.
We should do something politically correct, like say that we're really happy for the Croatian team or the Croatians.
I'm psyched for them.
Croatians.
What are you guys talking about? I'm pumped.
Who are they playing, France?
Sounds right to me.
That's correct.
All right, 617-779-7937. Are you going to be thrilled over the next four years, if our teams win all of these games, but they don't bring home the hardware? Because I think there's it's easy to look at these four teams, Lou, and say they're going to be really good for the next 4 years, right?
Sure. They should all be very good.
But which one of them is going to actually win a championship? That's not easy.
No, it never has been.
No.
It never has been. And you know what? Honestly, I feel like the Patriots, I don't know. Are you feeling different about them?
No. I feel that they are again.
So wait and see. The offseason has been a little bit different in the past, but I still think you got Brady playing at a high level. You still are the favorites of all those teams to win a championship.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get to it. We'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We'll give away a pair of Red Sox tickets coming up in the next hour as well.
Experience Glenn 24-7. Follow him on Twitter right now at Glenn D. Ordway. Now back to more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here at OMF, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. As we said, we're going to talk to Sam Kennedy at 12:30. Got a bunch of stuff to get to with him.
Do.
Whole marketing and all of this other stuff.
Do.
Do you enjoy the last couple nights, last three nights, where they're making a big, huge deal about, vote Benny?
Hey, it's what'd you expect?
Benny and the Jets was played for the
If any other team had a similar voting system, you know they'd be doing the same thing.
Well, they were all doing it. But you know what's sad about this?
Say any other sport.
How was it that Seattle got their guy in? And by the way, did you see who was a big blowhard out there marketing this whole thing?
Salk?
Mike Salk.
Your boy?
What is that? My boy. I've never met him. I have no idea. I've never said hello to him. Never met him before. Not my guy.
The Sox kind of lose
it was Intercom's
these
guy.
Fan
votes guy.
Now. It's sort of like the Kansas City thing. I mean, yeah. Let's pull people in Seattle and Kansas City. In Milwaukee, right? Aguilar, yeah. Where she deserved to win. They got nothing else going on in their lives.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, I heard Wisconsin's going to be the epicenter.
Honestly, congratulations to Mariners fans. I am blown away.
Congratulations. Guys really stepped up.
So they made a big, huge deal about it. But it's almost like I get it. I understand it. Major League Baseball has got to find a way of marketing their game and getting people to know about the personalities and the individuals, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they kind of trip over their own feet in trying to do it. You know, it almost sounded stupid. The John Sterling stuff was really kind of stupid.
The man who gives you those Stantonian home runs.
Just to think, come on. You can't do a better job of marketing. I mean, you've got to admit it, Lou. The NBA is really good at being able to market this crap. I mean, they've been able to market off of the NBA games, a whole other league, the WNBA.
They've
been able to market it.
They don't market baseball players. Now, it is harder to market. We've talked about it before. Like, come see the superstar play and get four at-bats and stand in center field. As opposed to come see Brady going to New England or on the road, and you get him out in the field half the game. You got LeBron James on the court the whole game. In the NBA, when you go to watch your stars, they're on the court the whole game. They're playing offense. They're playing defense. In baseball, you come watch Mike Trout, four at-bats, see what he does. It's a different style. It's a different sport.
Well, it is today, but it survived for 120 years where the game was played the same way. Now, granted, it was a shorter game, but it's pretty much the same game, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I don't have any problem with the new wrinkles. I said this yesterday. I don't have any problems with the sabermetric stuff. I think it brings in a whole other audience. I think you termed it best. It brings in the nerds, the kids that never could play any of the sports, but they knew the numbers inside and out. It brings them into sports right now. So it's a good thing. All of that stuff is good. I don't have a problem with the shift. It's all good. It works for me because I think you're finding a way of strategizing and saying, okay, if a guy hits the ball in that area literally 60 times out of 200 and some odd hits, I'm going to position somebody right there and I'm going to take away those hits. All of that makes sense. So the only problem they have is I don't know who these people are. We're going to have this All-Star game next week, and I would guess, is it ESPN that's doing the All-Star game? They must be doing it, right?
Yeah, probably.
So wouldn't you guess that next week they're going to try to show us the personality?
Yeah, they will.
Of the
players? Doing the home run derby. They bring the guys in, they sit them down, right?
Yeah, but even the home run derby, the top players don't want to do it right now.
They need to do a better job of it. And we can talk to, how much they look into it with Sam at 12:30. I'm just distracted.
What's wrong with you?
Cowherd put this thing. Does any city rally around its stars like Los Angeles?
He's in Los Angeles, right?
Does Los Angeles rally around its stars?
Squirrel!
Yeah.
Do they?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, does any other city? Yes. Like, most of them.
I don't look at Los Angeles as one of the great sports cities, professional sports cities in America. And I'm not even sure it's great in college, even though they have two prominent universities there, right? I'm not even sure it's there.
Have you ever thought of those? Man, you know what? That's worried about L.A. They rally around their stars. That's Hollywood. Might as well just say that about what, Atlanta, Florida? Is that what we're going to do now? Miami?
I would say, if anything, Lou, it's
there's too much going on in L.A. There's movie stars. No, they don't rally around its stars. They just fit in.
I would say it's almost the opposite, isn't it?
I think it is the opposite, is my point.
Yeah.
It's a stupid argument.
That most of the athletic stars in L.A. pale in comparison with the actual Hollywood movie stars. So they're like B, C, and D stars, right? Celebrities. That's what they are.
Yeah.
In Boston, if you're an athletic star, a professional athlete, you're usually a top star, right? An A celebrity.
Right. We go to Wisconsin, the new epicenter. You think they rally around their stars? That's all they got. Of course, right? They rally around their guys. They're small. It's like a small little area. We can't even go and get a free meal or a seat. But I would. Where would you? L.A. As far as rallying around its stars, where would you put L.A. on cities in the country? They wouldn't even be close to number one.
See, I think this is just part of Cowherd doing the L.A. based type of show. Because the other thing they're talking about right now, I deserve a squirrel moment as well. Is he's now talking about is Magic Johnson the next great recruiter? I just read a piece with the agent, one of the agents for LeBron, is basically laying it out as to why LeBron went to Los Angeles. He went to Miami because he needed to win championships because he couldn't win in Cleveland. He went back to Cleveland because it was his hometown. He felt he owed them something, and he thought that he could put together a team that actually could bring Cleveland something that they've never, ever experienced before, and that is a championship, right? And now he's going to L.A., one, because his family wants to be there, and two, because it's where he wants to be there because it's where his business interests are. Has anybody noticed how many times you see his name pop up as an executive producer now on one of these television productions? Is anybody watching any of this stuff? You can't do that in Cleveland. He's doing that out there. So it's almost like, so why should I praise Magic Johnson for what is he putting around LeBron? So far, I look at that Los Angeles Lakers game.
Two-year plan.
Okay, good luck.
Grind it out.
Good luck. All of Magic Johnson, you know all of Irvin Johnson.
You know what this is going to be, and I'm with you. I'm surprised it's not another move to add a piece with him, but it's going to be like, okay, play with all these young kids, and after playing with them for a year, you let us know who you want us to keep.
Ooh.
Which ones do you like? Do you think there's hope for him? Do you think there's hope for him? You guys on the same page? Good, we'll keep him. The other ones, we'll get rid of all of them.
I hate to say it, and I'm trying to take credit away from Magic Johnson. He might be terrific in that job down the line, 3 years down the line.
We'll go to school to learn the new CBA.
But the easiest thing he had to do in this offseason was get LeBron. Where are the other guys? Pull off the Kawhi Leonard trade. Then I'll give you some credit here, right, without giving up too much. Did you bring Paul George in? Did Magic bring Paul George in? That was the plan. Plan was going to be Paul George and LeBron James. What happened there? He didn't bring them both in. So now I have to look at Magic Johnson as the great NBA recruiter? The great recruiter? I would say that Danny Ainge has done a little bit more. He got LeBron to L.A. because that's where LeBron wanted to go. If Magic wasn't there, do you think LeBron still would be in L.A.? I do. And I read that whole ESPN story, how they put it all together in the wee hours of the morning. Come on. That's Hollywood. They're just making up a script. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Come on.
He's going to go out there and they're going to try to sell it for another couple. We'll put the team around you next year, LeBron. Don't worry about it.
Talking about rest versus rest.
Do your producer work. Get your ventures working. We'll be ready to win next year. Because they ain't ready to win this year, that's for sure.
I mean, you look at that team, and I'm saying, first of all, teams, when LeBron comes to town and he goes out on the road, Golden State is going to sit there and say, we got to beat his ass. We're getting up for this team tonight.
Well, Golden State's laughing because they're sitting there saying, okay, the one guy that's in our way is LeBron James. Yep. Keep an eye on where he goes. He's the only guy that's going to keep us from winning, going to the finals and winning the next 2, 3, 4 years, who knows what. Then he goes to L.A. and you look at him and go, perfect, can't win there. Ain't going to beat us there. You know what I mean? Like if you went to Houston, All right, here we go. Strap it on, boys. We got to get ready for next year. We got a battle in our hands. Goes to L.A. They're like, eh, whatever.
I think Houston takes a step backward next year. I already see them with some problems. They lose Trevor Ariza. I think that's an issue. They still haven't signed Capella yet. That may be an issue for them. So there may be some issues with them, the Chris Paul thing, how that's playing out. Is he happy in that situation? All right, we get back to your phone calls. We're going to get into Dustin Pedroia here in a couple of minutes. You probably heard he's going back to Arizona. Does it mean the end for Dustin Pedroia? As we said, Sam Kennedy will join us at 12:30. We'll give away a pair of Red Sox tickets as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.